Hey guys. Okay. Fun fact. I started this Zoom call in the wrong room and I was just talking away. I'm like, there's nobody here. Maybe I better stop this recording and see. So I apologize. Welcome to the Queen's Club call. I am so excited. I can officially confirm. Hey, Kim. Oh, I guess that means you guys can hear me. So thank you, Kim, for letting me know that. I can confirm I'm in the right room. So excited to be here. So please be sure to raise your hand if you would like to be coached. I would love to coach you today. And what else do I want to do? I want to go over the announcements I have up here. Also, fun fact, we have just started the heat in our home. I live in North Carolina in Asheville. And it is like winter has come in with just the moisture and coldness in one fell swoop. And I turned the heat on. So now my eyes are particularly dry and I just put some eye drops in. So bear with me if I look like I'm struggling to look at the list because I am. So the virtual camp, y'all, the January virtual camp is still available. I just caught Corinne on her coaching just about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago. And she, I think she said something like there's 50 swag boxes left. So just know that that is still open and available to you. And if you're interested in getting coming to camp and getting the swag box, that the time is upon you to make the decision and come on and join us. It's going to be an amazing camp. Corinne always, as you guys know, she pulls out all the stops. I'm looking super forward to it myself. This week, we have calls coming up. So Monday night, we have Coach Kathy is coaching on other people's opinions. That will be at 5 Central. Tuesday, and in fact, all Tuesdays in December, four Tuesdays in December. I don't know how many there are for sure, but for sure 4 Tuesdays in December. Coach Jane Pilger will be coaching on Binging Better. And I can tell you the link is up on the No BS website. I have printed out the entire course and all the things. So just want to let you know, there's the workbook. There's a companion workbook. I printed out the sheets, all the things. I'm looking forward to that class as well. So again, that's Tuesday. Wednesday, December 2nd is the first new parenting coaching call with Coach Lisa Smith. She's back in the house. Love to have her back. And Wednesday, the No BS Q&A with Corinne, 9 a.m. on the Facebook Live. Thursday, y'all, there is something every day to get coached on except for Friday. So Thursday, office hours with Coach Betsy, 5 p.m. Central. Saturday, the 5th of December, coaching on getting on the scale with Corinne. That's 10 Central. All right, got the announcements out of the way. And let me close that. And I am coming over here to figure this out. It's always exciting to get this going here. All right. So welcome, everyone. I am going to pull the chat. Oh, hey, Mari. It's good to see you. I'm pulling the chat away. I'm going to want to read it. But I'm cutting it away. Because I'm that. Also, would like to note that I'm wearing my crown. Jerry Perry gave me this crown. I think it's been 2 years ago, so I thought I would wear it today. It's such an honor to be coaching you guys. I remember when I made Queen's Club, such a nice milestone to mark, and I just love that Corinne offers this coaching time for everyone, and the special Facebook group. I was excited to hear her say there will be something new coming up for the Queen's Club starting in January. So looking forward to that. Again, go ahead and raise your hand if you would like to be coached. I see two. Okay, here we go. Melanie, I'm going to call on Melanie first, and next would be Lisa. So Melanie, I hope you mean to have your hand up. I am promoting you to panelist.
Hello.
Hey, good to see you.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing
Thank you. Thanks for calling on me. This is my first Nobius time to be. So what I wanted to talk about today was I've been doing this for over a year, not in this program, but the same type of you know, thought work and all that type of stuff. And I've had a lot of success, down 25 in the past year, and then there was more before that. But I've got about 10 to 12 pounds left to goal. And what I was finding when I started Nobius in September, and I was keeping track of, you know, the little how often you follow your plan and all the other habits, I was following everything pretty much 100% because I have a lot of good habits, except for following my plan. It was down to like 38%, and then eating doable hunger was also pretty low. It was 50% or under. So those were the only two things that I knew were things I need to really clean up. And so I focused over the past couple of weeks on making a really doable plan. And I've had a lot of success this month with that, but I also have put on some weight as a result, a couple of pounds. So I'm at the point where I feel like I know how to do a doable plan now. And I think I'm better at that, but I guess I'm looking for some guidance on where do I go from here? Do I start then making it a little bit more strict because I don't feel restricted in what I eat, but how do I go to a place where I start losing weight again so that I'm working towards my goals, but still keeping my plans doable?
Okay.
And I'm already eating lots of best foods.
Best foods. Okay. I want to make sure there is a little bit of a drag on. So I'm going to say back what you said. So I want to make sure that I heard everything correctly. You're at,
okay,
and you were at 38% following your plan.
Yes.
And then 50% ish on making the doable plan.
Yes.
Okay. And then you had success. So now you're having success following the plan and making doable plans. But as a result, you've gained weight.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So
can you hear me better now? I move closer to the modem.
Maybe it's your. I got you. We'll figure this out. Okay.
Okay.
So tell me, if you had to guess, what's going on? Why do you think you have gained weight this week, this month, following and making doable plans?
Well, I think one thing that I had done a couple of months ago, I was on about a 9-month plateau, is I cut out nuts and nut butters and dark chocolate because I knew those were a bit of trigger food for me. But I also realized that I didn't want to live my life without having any almonds again. Mm-hmm. And so I added some of those back in. And I feel like I've done it responsibly, with a serving here or there, but I've been more liberal with that and also much more liberal with fruit. I tend to eat a pretty low carb diet. So I think that that has contributed to me gaining some weight. And I know another issue that has kind of held me back is always eating more than satisfied. But I decided to focus. I had focused on that for a while and I made a bit of progress, but I really wanted to get the following a plan down. So I felt like focusing on both of those things at once was a bit hard to do. So I wanted to tackle one and then the other. But I do know that I still need to work on stopping sooner. I have a hard time with throwing food away. There's about I just have a hard time throwing food away. It comes from my childhood and my parents being frugal and things like that. So something I'm aware of and working on, but still I know that's where I can improve.
Okay. So why do you have a hard time throwing food away?
I have these thoughts that it's wasteful, that, you know, when it's not spoiled and, you know, we could save it and eat it later or,
do you save it?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. If it's enough, you know, more than a couple of bites.
Mm-hmm. But if it's less than a couple of bites and you've eaten dissatisfied, what are you thinking? So,
I'm usually justifying it, saying I have some success with throwing it away, but oftentimes I'll be like, well, it's just a couple of bites, it won't matter. And I eat it, or yeah.
So do just a couple of bites matter? When you're within close to goal, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I've discovered that for sure.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to lose it like you're going to live it, so you've brought back some nut butters and some fruits, but you're mm-hmm. also aware that you're eating past satisfied. So my question to you is, how can you work on those thoughts around the bites left on the plate?
That's a good one. And I think also maybe serving less, kind of focus on the front end. If I know I have a hard time throwing it away, then maybe just start by serving less, right?
Yeah. So what if you had, you hear us talk a lot about the curiosity, right? Just being curious at, your next meal and being curious and putting a little less on there that you would normally serve and seeing if you can make it to satisfied with what you have available, or leaving two bites on your plate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that I can, because I often do get to the satisfied, and it's almost like I recognize it and I don't want to stop. I get this disappointment with the meal being over. And I think I just need to expect that and know that that's part of the process.
Absolutely. Without a doubt, those thoughts are part of the process. And finding that sweet spot where you can stop and get to satisfied, like, we all continue to work on that because it is changing, and managing our thoughts around those moments when we want to, like, oh, two bites won't matter, this won't really matter. Mm-hmm. They do matter. The closer we get to our goal, they do. Have you seen the picture that went around in the Facebook group where the I wish I could remember her name, where she collected in a baggie the two bites?
Yes, I did see that. That's actually brilliant. Maybe I should try that and put it in the freezer.
Yes. And I think, I don't know, I bet someone in the chat probably knows. I think she lost like 4 pounds that week. It was an incredible amount, my thoughts, of weight just in her practicing this and seeing the results on the scale and seeing the food in the bag. Yeah. That two thoughts and two bites matter.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And you know what? I don't even need to waste that. I don't need to waste that. I could take it out of the freezer and feed it to my dogs at the end of the week.
Yeah, that's totally available.
Okay.
I'm also like,
I like that.
Yeah, I'm also a big favor of mindful eating. Oops. Right? Putting your fork down, making sure that you're eating undistracted, paying attention to where your thoughts go. When my mind starts to wander with an A, that's when I really, that's like a big indicator for me that I'm done. The food loses its interest for me. But okay. If you try this week, be sure and post that in the Queen's Club and tag me. Oh, it's breaking up. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay. Thank you, Melanie.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. You got this.
Thanks.
Let's see. Okay, y'all. Sorry. That was so good. Y'all, two bites totally matter. If y'all haven't seen that, maybe I'll try and find that post and bring it up. Okay, so I've got Lisa coming up next, and then Valerie. Lisa, I am promoting you to panelist. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Aside from my dry eyes, if I blink a lot at you, forgive me.
Okay, that's all right. So I thought I would pop on and ask about the diet mentality. I've been in the tribe since June 2019, so a while, and I've lost like 80 pounds.
Oh wow! Congratulations.
Thank you. But I do find lately I'm still stuck with a bit of this diet mentality about having treats. And I know they're not treats, but I think about it as anything sweet. If I wanted to have ice cream or a cookie or something like that, how do I get over thinking that it's a treat and that it's, I don't know, like special? And if I think that it's neutral, then why do I want to have it?
Why do you? That's a great question. Why do you want to have it? Got to answer the questions.
Well, because it's sweet and it's a treat and it's something, I don't know. Like, I don't think I'm having stuff like that out of like rewarding myself, really. But I do think sometimes I would like to have them, and I struggle with planning it because I just don't know where it fits in my plan unless, you know, I make it a meal. And
how's that? How can,
well, because I guess where I'm at, it's, I don't need that much food to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. So how do I ever have a darn cookie without it being like, oh, I've gone off plan because I'm just going to do it because there's some here now and I never have them. I guess that's the thought that keeps coming up. Well, it's been so long since I've really had these.
I totally hear you, like, yourself through this. Like, so my question is, why aren't you planning the cookies? Like, what if you put them on the plan every day, but you don't have to eat them every day? I'm a big fan of this. You're going to hear me say this a lot. Put them on the plan and know that it's an option and you can choose the cookie or not. You can have anything you want. You're choosing not to have the cookie then.
Yeah, I've told people that. When I try to explain what this program is about, I'm like, no, I could eat chocolate cake all day if that's what I wanted to do, as long as I stuck to the doable hunger. Mm-hmm. But I guess I just still, like, in the moment, I'm like, well, no, I'm trying to lose weight, so I don't want to have a cookie. It's,
yeah.
So then I just stop planning it. And then, my daughter will make cookies. And I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. But I wouldn't have put one on the plan because I don't even have any in my house. She would just bring them over or something. And I'm like, yeah, I should have that. Well, now I'm off plan. I don't want to do that. So I don't know. Do I seriously just put it on every single day, even though it's not something that I even have?
Let's just explore this. So when I was losing my weight, and when I was actively losing it, I had like a protocol, right? Things that I would allow. And tequila, my protocol. And, you know, I wasn't having tequila every day, but there would sometimes be the occasional, right, when we would go out to eat pre-COVID, right? When we would go out to restaurants with friends, and if I wanted to have tequila, it was on my plan. I could have it. Like, it's on there. It's available to you. So what I hear you saying is you're getting hung up in this moment of your daughter's made cookies and you want to have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you say, if my daughter makes cookies, I can have one.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
Yeah. And you could put ice cream on your plan every day. I think you mentioned ice cream in the beginning.
Yep. Yeah.
Or you could say, you know, plan for tomorrow, or just put it on your plan every day if you just want to experiment. Knowing, here's the thing, your conscious brain is always going to make the choice in your favor. It's your habit brain that when you start thinking, oh, I want cookies, oh, I want ice cream, and then you get in that mind shift, that mind game that becomes the struggle, that diet mentality.
Yeah, and that's what I think has happened to me, I guess, this week, where the cookies, I think, were the start of it. And then I just started kind of spinning in this, oh, well, I had a cookie the other night, so I'm like, I went off plan, and oh, we're out, and well, sure, I could have ice cream. That'd be cool. And because, you know, I haven't had these things in so long. And it's like, well, wait a minute. No, I'm not someone who eats, you know, cookies one day and ice cream the next day. I mean, I don't do that anymore. And I'm not going to keep losing weight if I do start doing that again. So yeah, but I hadn't really thought of, I guess, just going back to putting it on the plan anyways, and then making the choice.
Put it on the plan, make the choice. And your thinking is, I'm losing it like I want to live it. And there's going to be the cake.
Yeah.
I want cookies, and I can have a cookie. It's on plan. And I am knowing that you're not off plan even when you have one, right? Or when your brain goes down that spiral of, oh my gosh, no, that's not true. Give that some equal airtime. You have tons of evidence. 80-pound loss. Who better than you? You know that's not true. You know exactly what to do. You're right back on plan next meal. Next best decision.
Okay.
The negative thoughts are always coming. Be prepared. Cookies can be on plan. Let your conscious brain make the decision for you. Is this the week I want to lose weight? I can always have a cookie. If my daughter makes homemade cookies, I can have a cookie.
Yeah. Okay. I think I can work with that. Because that's what the issue I was getting hung up on. Oh, well, now I'm off plan. Well, I might as well do this too then. And
yeah,
still off plans. Oh, I might as well go do that now.
And managing your mind around that those thoughts, and giving it some, like, what is that? The debate team, right? You had to argue one point. And so your negative brain's going to argue, oh, I'm off plan. Your conscious brain come in. And you need to give 50% equal airtime on all the evidence that you have how that is not true.
Yes. Okay. You're all right. Fine. Thank you.
Right. Okay.
All right. Thanks very much.
Bye. All right. Let's see. I think I got her down. Okay. There we go. Did I just tell y'all that I drank tequila? I haven't had y'all. Not even for my birthday. Okay, this is what we've got. Valerie, then Lee. Valerie, you are up next. Promoting you to panelist. Valerie Ruppert. Hey. Oh, I can't hear you. I'm going to ask to unmute. There you are.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Super. Okay, so I had surgery about 3 weeks ago, and I'm usually the one who does all the cooking. So I wasn't able to do any cooking. So my boyfriend was going to be doing all the cooking or carrying out. So I said for a week, I was just going to not make a plan and just kind of eat two to two until I was, you know, feeling a little bit better. So I really had I was on antibiotics and pain medication, and it made me have no appetite, but I was always hungry because I always had like this underlying nausea feeling. So I don't know what my two to two was for about 10 days. Mm-hmm. So I didn't follow a plan. I didn't follow my two to two. And now I'm going on almost 3 weeks, and I'm just having a really hard time getting back on track. Okay. With either making a plan or following my hunger.
Okay.
And I keep making up excuses, like tomorrow, the next day. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How can you make this so easy?
Like, I don't know.
What would be the easiest thing to do right now to make a plan? What do you have a plan today?
No.
Where's your planner?
It's right here.
What time zone are you in? Is it not time for dinner?
It's Eastern time zone. Yeah, almost.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I completely got out of the habit, and I'm not using, well, I mean, I am kind of using it as an excuse, but I got out of the habit, and I have actually made a plan a couple of times, and I didn't follow it.
Okay. Thinking you completely got out of habit is not helpful.
I know. Yeah.
What could you be thinking?
I could be thinking I can make a plan today.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Come on. Like,
well, I don't know. I feel like I'm, this is probably isn't the best thought, but I feel like I just got off track and it's like, I'm starting all over again and it feels kind of hard. I know that's not the best thoughts to be thinking, but that's how it feels. Yeah.
It feels true.
Yeah.
It feels true. So why is this so hard for you? What's the hard part?
I mean, for almost 3 weeks now, I've just been kind of doing whatever I wanted to and not making plans and not being accountable. And that's pretty easy, you know? And so, although it's not really hard to make a plan and to follow your hunger, it seems like a big step, I guess.
Okay.
And it sounds so silly when I'm saying it, because I'm like, it's really not, but it feels like it is right now.
Because you're thinking off track and that this is so hard and that you've completely out of habit.
Right.
Yeah. So those are just sentences going around in your brain. They're just sentences. This is just a story your brain is telling yourself right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the reality is you've got a piece of paper right in front of you.
I have my planner right in front of me. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so what's for dinner? Do you know what's for dinner? Who made dinner? You or your boyfriend? Who's cooking?
We're actually getting pizza tonight.
Okay. How many slices of pizza are you having? What's on your plan?
I'm going to say one piece of pizza and some salad.
Okay. You can go ahead and write it down. I'm going to help you here.
I'm going to write it down.
This is not hard. Your brain just wanted to tell you a story. What's hard is not getting your goals.
Yes. Yes. That's very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, and then I stepped on the scale and I gained 10 pounds and I feel like, maybe that's what feels really hard is like, mm-hmm. Now I feel like, I have 10, you know, 10 pounds that I gained when, you know, of course my goal is to be losing weight and now I've gained 10 pounds. And maybe I think that although it doesn't feel like that's the hard part, I kind of feel like maybe that's the hard part. It's like, I feel like I've taken so many steps backwards, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, that's just another story.
Right.
Your brain is adding layers onto this. Like, so the story goes back 3 weeks and 10 pounds. And now it feels hard. But your job is to show your, look, it's not that hard. I can easily write a plan and I'm going to think, how can I make this easy today? How can I make this easy on myself today? What comes up for you when I ask that question? You let your brain answer that question.
Well, in my brain, I feel like it's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's the logical part of me knows it's not hard. It's not hard to make a plan and it's not hard to follow your hunger. But there's a part of me that feels like it is hard and I've been kind of avoiding it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's hard, but I know it's not, if that makes sense. As I say this, it sounds really silly. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds so silly. But that's been my struggle for like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. So let's give it like, I honestly, I can't remember if it was the caller before you or you, like, let's give this some equal airtime. How hard is this going to be to make a plan for the day?
Not hard at all.
Right. But your habit brain wants to argue for, I'm off track. I'm completely out of the habit. Oh, the hell in a handbasket. I don't even know what I'm doing now. I don't know how to get back on.
Right. I don't know how to write a plan.
I don't know how.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So your conscious brain now is it's up to you to show your habit brain. Oh, no. No. We're not going there. Corinne did a coaching earlier day, and she said she coached the lady, and she said, well, is that worth thinking? And the lady said no. And she said, well, that's what you tell yourself. That ain't worth thinking. That's not true. Like, you've got to have something to say back when those negative thoughts come rolling in. It's just not true. And the more true, here's the other thing, the more true these thoughts feel to you. I think you do have clarity as you're talking to me, because you're like, it sounds so silly.
You know, even saying it out loud, like, I feel like it makes more sense now.
It like does.
Yes.
And so that's,
now it's out.
Now, that's the value of putting pen to paper. And like, if you journal that out and give it equal airtime and show your brain what's going on, that this is just a story, you circle the facts. Do I want to think this way? No. You know exactly what to do. Your brain, just don't buy into that story.
Okay.
So you know what's for
dinner? I do.
Okay.
One piece of pizza and a salad.
One piece of pizza and a salad. How's your water looking for the day? Are you drinking tea in that cup?
Yes.
All right.
My water's doing good. I've been drinking a lot of water.
I'm on plan. Look at me. I'm drinking water. There's that.
Right.
Really celebrating yourself on the things you're doing. When you're like re-entering, coming back in on plan, do not hesitate to celebrate you. Like, okay. Really kind of blow that up in your brain, blow it up on the paper, show yourself that you're not off track. This is not hard. This is easy. And the more we reward ourselves, right, with our thinking, with our actions, because that is where we get the dopamine hit, right? These small steps along the journey to get us to our goal. It's who we become every day. It's showing the brain, I am on plan. Woohoo, look at me.
Okay. Okay.
Got it.
Thanks.
This ain't
Thank
worth
you.
That ain't worth thinking.
Okay.
Money in the bank right there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
She's cute. Y'all, it's so important to celebrate your wins. We just can't emphasize that enough, that it's up to us to, oh gosh, I love it when I say this because I hesitate every time, to pleasure our own brain. I follow Lee, I'm going to pull you up. I follow a neuroscientist. Y'all may want to follow him too. He has some really cool, short things on Instagram. Hey Lee, give me 1 second. He does little short informational nuggets about the brain, like 30 seconds on his Instagram account. His name is Andrew Huberman. But he tells the same story that Corinne tells us about how it's the person who checks the boxes off every day, that it's that person who achieves their goals because they are celebrating who they are. It's exactly what Corinne teaches us, who we become along the journey. It's not the goal that's the reward. It's the daily steps we take to get there. So celebrate yourselves as I'm talking with my hands. All right, Lee, what's up?
Hi. I so relate to everything the girl said. So one thing I'm practicing is sitting through an urgent planning tomorrow, which I've realized just today is that I can sit through bigger urges than little urges. So just one or just a few, I tend to give in to the urge. So that was an interesting call. And the other one was in the fuck it mode of weight loss. And the 4 stages of weight loss has really helped me understand why I've got to that spot and that it's normal. So that was good. My question is, the Binge Better workshop that's coming up, mm-hmm. I listened to the first call about 3 times, and I've taken it that, well, I did take it that binge better means binging is okay, and I've just binged for a full week, and I haven't binged like that in years. So that was yeah, I really went in the pooper with that one. And I'm really worried that when this binge better course starts, I'm going to go back to that. It was just like I got permission to binge all week. And the more I listened to it, the more I binged. It was terrible.
Did you get permission to binge all week?
No, it just felt like I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you thinking? What? So you listened to the call a couple times and you had some thoughts that it was okay to binge.
But part of it was, I've never in my life discussed binging with anybody ever. And it's almost like coming out of the closet with it.
I feel I'm the same way. Like, I never thought I would be talking 10,000 women about my binging.
Yeah. So there was definitely the anxiety around like owning up to it with my accountability groups, because I did. But the other one was that binging was normal is probably what I got out of it. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of where I went wrong, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. But let's think about this. What if binging was normal for you? How's that a problem?
I hate the secrecy of it. I hate the volume of it. I hate how it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. I'm so, like, shame is the biggest one. Shame is just, and it's shame within myself, not just from the outside, like, not that I feel shame from the outside world. All I got from my accountability groups was a lot of love, but and support, and, you know, offers and advice, and they were great, but just such shame that I can't stop this.
Can you stop it?
Yeah, because I have.
Yeah. So what if you binge every now and then? So what?
Don't want to. I wished I couldn't. I wished I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a part of me that has such huge shame.
Yeah.
And has done my whole life.
Yeah.
And it's been the thing that's been my crutch since I was 9. And I feel like I've got on top of all of the emotions that, the things that happened in the past was, molestation and rape, domestic violence and all of that. And I feel like I'm through all of that and I have very little emotion about that, but I'm stuck with this damn binging and I hate it.
Hmm. What if, hang with me here, Lee, what if you thought of this binging as it was the ultimate love that you had for yourself when you were going through these experiences at 9 years old? What if binging was the best thing you could do for yourself? It's the only tool you had to get through what you went through.
Sorry, I think there's a kangaroo here. The dog's stood up. I think I need to work on that a bit more.
Here's what I can promise you. Hating on your binging is not going to serve you. Hating on it, it's that negative thinking about it will keep it spiraling and feeling like you have no control.
Okay.
So if you
can. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to keep revisiting because when you have a thought of a binge, maybe watching the binging show. And I want to thank you, by the way, for this call, because there's probably a couple of other women, I'm sure. If it happened for you, it's probably happened to someone else. So thank you for getting on here. But hating on your binging, like, what if you were triggered and your brain went there? And for the last week, you've had thoughts. Did you have thoughts of your past aside from the binging?
No, what it actually came down to was my mum had moved over and was babysitting my sister's house while she was away, and she moved back on Thursday. And I thought I was on top of all the emotions about mum moving back, because Lord knows everybody knows about my relationship with my mother. It was, I'm pretty sure it came back to that. And just really not wanting her home, but knowing she needed to be because she was going backwards, being away. Yeah.
So what purpose did the binging serve for you last week?
It got me through the week. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I think on retrospect, is what it's done because of, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, because of no BS and because of the honesty of the accountability groups and other women's stories, it's actually made me find my desire to be more all in with no BS again, where I had completely lost that for a while. Yeah, so I'm back, you know, and so it's given me that drive again.
Yeah. I just, so many good things are coming out of this call that I hear you acknowledging about yourself as you process through this. Like, you're a woman on a journey who is figuring out her past, connecting the dots with her binging, who is showing up for her mom. And this binging has, it served a purpose. And
yeah, leaning
into, you know, and I don't want to say loving your binging, but loving the part of you that is figuring this out. And it's okay if I binge every now and then, because when we say that message that it's okay, it helps neutralize it. It helps take the hate out of binging. It takes the hate.
It's a bit like planning it for tomorrow. Yeah, planning something for tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Sometimes I binge. Sometimes it's the best I can do. I'm not going backwards. Yeah. This is not a problem. This is just something I do when I'm trying to figure things out. And I love myself no matter what.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I need to re-listen to this a few times, listen to what you just said. Oh, I had a pen on write down, but I'm in the middle of a forestry. Yeah. Thank you.
Of course.
It makes, yeah, it does, and it has served a purpose, and I hadn't considered that. All I was doing was, fuck, I'm back there again. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
And are you journaling about this?
I did. Yeah, I did. And the one thing I had stopped in the last 2 months is a journaling. Oh, I've been really struggling since October camp. I sort of fell apart at October camp, and I stopped really planning efficiently. And if I planned, I didn't assess and I didn't follow it. And yeah, if I journaled, then it was like once in a blue moon. So I'm back doing all of that, and I've committed to do that. You know, with my accountability groups until after Christmas. And I know that that's not just going to be the end of it. But, you know, I feel good about the direction where I'm going, and where for the last couple of months I've just gone, I want to quit. But, you know, understanding that, you know, MJ pointed me to the 4 stages of my weight loss, and it just went, oh my God, I'm normal. And then the binging happened, and then I'm like, I'm not normal, but I am normal.
You are figuring this out. I hope I'm not repeating myself too much, but I feel like I can't say that enough. And promise me that you work on letting go of the judgment that you have around the binging and releasing yourself from the judgment and knowing this is some part of you, that this is some form of self-care, and it served a purpose, and you can stop anytime you choose. It's available to you. And sometimes I binge. Yeah. Sometimes I binge.
Yeah. It's yeah, you're right. And yeah, I think I need to more journal on, not so much what I ate and why I ate, but on binging itself and how I feel about it as a general sense.
Completely.
Mm. Okay, thank you. Oh, my nose is running now. It's very hot today.
Are you in like Australia?
Yeah, I'm in Queensland and we hit the 40s today, which is around your 110s, I think. So, yes, it's 6:30, I think, or somewhere about there in the morning. I don't know if I'll flip you around. So this, I'm just walking in a forestry.
Oh, yeah.
And so Madam thought she saw a kangaroo, but I can't see one. Yes, so I'm out hiking at the moment. We virtually don't have COVID, so our life is normal. Thank God. Oh. Very, very grateful. Yeah, you know, it's funny. COVID has done immense positive things, but and I can say that because I'm not in the thick of it, but from the outside, you know, it's enabled us to access the camps, and you know, the friendships are stronger, and more connection, more deeper connection, and things like that. So for me, you know, having, I'm in Australia and it's different, and I understand that, but for me it's been a really positive thing, and in some ways I'm grateful for it, but I also know that it's bloody horrid and it's frightening.
This is interesting that I'm thinking to myself, that same thought about COVID you could have about binging, and how, what wonderful things it served, the purpose it served for you in its time, like how you were seeing the good things out of COVID. See the good things that binging did for you. Allow that.
You're exactly right.
Allow that to be there. It served a purpose. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame.
Yeah.
When your brain wants to go to shame, you have released yourself from shame by coming here and sharing with your accountability group. There's no shame.
Yeah. It's funny. When I had cancer and I was going to, you know, oncology and stuff, I felt like I was a fake there because I wasn't having chemo. And I've had cancer twice, and, you know, or actually four times, but not had chemo. And I always felt like I was a fake. And the same thing with the COVID, and I can see how that relates to the binging now too. So I need to, it's funny how it's all connected, and you connected the dots and I hadn't. So, thank you.
I'm sending you all my best. Thank you.
And there's a lot of questions down there about four stages of weight loss, and the links are in PMP 411. Is it PMP 411? I think it is. The link's in there, and it's brilliant. So, it really normalizes wherever you're at. And I had no idea. I thought I was broken. So, I know I'm coming. She's nagging. Okay, I better go. Well, thank you. That's really, really helped.
You're Cheers. Welcome. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Okay. Cheers.
You too. Bye.
Love that. Bye.
Bye.
Oh. Okay, let me see if she's leaving, y'all. How cool is that? Talking to Australia out in the woods, and I'm just here in Fairview, North Carolina. Okay, up next, it looks like we have Bethany. Bethany, I'm calling on you. Hey, Bethany. I'm going to ask you. Oh, there you are.
Hi.
Hey, good to see you.
Oh, yeah, nice to see you too. I'm so excited. I haven't been coached by you before. I'm really excited to have you as my coaching call today. Oh, so,
thank you. I'm excited to coach you.
So, I've been coached once before on some sleep things. I've been a member of the tribe since April of 2019. And I've lost about 18 pounds since then. I got down to 25, obviously, and then I've gained back like two of them. But I've been kind of playing around with the same 3 pounds since August. Okay. And I know that part of my struggle or concern is that I eat a lot of sweets. And this is really kind of, I include it on my plan every day, but this is an issue because I have diabetes. So I'm not really looking out for my long-term goal, which is to be healthy for the long term by eating sweets every day. So I need some advice or some help in terms of trying to reframe my thoughts in like a hierarchical way that I can really move beyond just I want it. I do my discovery worksheets when I eat off plan, and
You've been playing around with 3 pounds. but you think you want to, let's talk about the sweets. So you plan sweets every day on your doable plan.
Right.
And you have, and I'm sorry, if there's a little bit of a delay.
Yes, I do plan that. Yes.
Okay. So you do plan the sweets. And why is planning sweets a problem?
Because it's keeping me, well, I don't know if it's keeping me at the same weight. It's a problem because I have diabetes and it's okay. Not really for my long-term health.
Okay. So having sweets is, you have diabetes, and so having sweets is not good for someone with diabetes. So you're planning sweets because?
I think that I'm in the habit. I eat them after meals. I eat them as well to when I've had a stressful day. So, you know, it's a habit and like a reward.
Okay. So when was the last time you had some sweets?
I had a cookie.
Oh, there's a delay. You had a cookie when?
I had a cookie today.
You had a cookie today. Okay. And it was on plan.
Let me look. Yes.
Okay. There's just like this long delay between our communication. There we go. Okay. I think you're back. Are you back?
Yes.
Bethany, I think I'm going to have to go with Cynthia. Okay. It's so strange. Like, okay, so you're back. Bethany, you've got a habit on the sweets. Maybe I'll do the talking. Okay.
Okay.
How's that? All right. So when you want to break a habit, how can you start eliminating sweets from your plan?
So I'm just going to turn off my video.
Yeah, that didn't help.
Better.
You know what, Bethany, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to find you in the Queen's Club Facebook group, and we'll talk about this. I'm going to change you to attendee.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to change her to attendee. There we go. I think. Y'all. Oh, I don't know now. Well, I can't hear her, and now I can't put her down from attendee. I've never had that happen. I'm gonna try putting her on hold. All right, there's that. There's somebody. Remember that, because someone else will have a similar problem. Cynthia, I'm gonna pull you up. We've got about 6 minutes, and let's see where we can get with this. I hope y'all have good connection. It's so much. Well, hey, I know you. It cannot be me. I am tethered in. Hey, your connection's a little slow too, but I think it just got better. Okay.
All right. So let me see. There we go. Hi. hopefully. No. I didn't miss this in the first half of the call. Hang on. Do you have me?
I can hear you. I can't see you.
All right. Hang on. Let me. Sunny, can you hear me? See me?
I can hear you.
There you are. I see you. Do you see me?
Yeah.
Okay. We good?
We're going to try it. Let's go.
Okay. I'm now in Wonderland, and I'm noticing that I don't always get hungry for breakfast, and I'm not so sure I want to do intermittent fasting, because it's like I'm good. I wake up 5:30, but then by like 9:30, I'm being sidelined by a ton of bricks of hunger. And then it's, do I wait for lunch or do I eat? I don't know. I'm kind of confused on what to do with it.
So somewhere between, I heard sidelined like a ton of bricks, you are hit with hunger. You don't have hunger. You don't have hunger, and then boom, you have hunger.
Yes.
Okay, so you are waking up at 5:30 and you're not eating or drinking coffee or doing anything.
I have coffee maybe 3 days a week. On those days, I know it's the coffee. Other days, it doesn't matter. Coffee, no coffee. It's just like literally feels like out of nowhere.
Is it? Have you noticed a pattern in the time?
Yep. It's about 9:30 to 9:45 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting 4 hours before I'm really hitting what I think is my true hunger of, oh my gosh, I need to eat. Mm-hmm. And if I wait longer than that, I get to the point where I got the shakes and then I'm like, oh God, no, I can't wait to eat because then I've pushed too far. So I don't know if just scheduling maybe a small snack like a cheese stick wrapped in prosciutto or something would be good as a breakfast, but I don't know how to write it on my plan, I guess is what I'm saying.
Should I plan? Yes.
Should I? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should let you answer that question.
So plan a snack, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe that's my thing. I'm really wrapped in the weirdness of not planning breakfast.
Okay. So wrapped in the weirdness of not planning breakfast. Because I need to backtrack a little bit because I know that you're an athlete. When are you working out?
At night, typically. Okay. Except this, you know, weekends it's the morning, but I'm normally a 6:30 at night workout just because of my work and my commute for work. It's 6:30, 7 o'clock at night when I work out.
Okay. And you have plenty of fuel on board. You can get your workout.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So what have you tried? What have you been doing with this hunger, with this 9:30 kind of, I'm getting hungry and then boom, I'm hangry.
I have written my plan for breakfast and then gone. My plan always has like fresh fruit and cheese. The Publix sells this really cute little mix, you know, $3, got like a half dozen grapes, a couple slices of apple, and about, you know, 8 little cubes of cheese. And I put that on my plan. So that I have healthy things and quick things as a teacher I can nibble on. And normally I'll grab that. And that will bring my hunger up using the old school. It'll bring me, I guess, to neutral would be the word now, where I'm not hungry, but I'm not satisfied either. And it gets me through to lunch, which for me is new. And then I have my big ass salad that I have planned every day, and I can go through my day. It's just about 9:30 in the morning, I hadn't even thought about the correlation to maybe I need to eat something after I work out at night to build something back in or to take less off so that I'm hungry, not eat as much at night so that with the burn that I get as an athlete, that it pulls me into being able to eat breakfast at like 7:30 in the morning. That's why I came to you.
Yeah, I totally... I like your train of thought around your evening and your breakfast. And I think putting some snacks like the cheese, with the prosciutto, your Publix thing that seems to be hitting the spot for you to get you through to lunch, sounds really doable. And I think with curiosity, you will figure this out. Like preemptive, like waiting till, can you make it to 9:30? I mean, yeah. Is this a problem?
No, it's not a problem. It works out. It's great. It's about a time of the day where I have the ability to eat because I'm in between students for about a 15-minute window. So yeah. It works for me. You know, I can eat breakfast when I first get to work, which is if I'm hungry, I get to work. It's about 7:15. By the time I get into my resource room and everything, it's like 7:30. I'm heating up the Kodiak oatmeal, eat my oatmeal as I'm planning my day. So it's not that I don't have the opportunity to eat breakfast. It's some days, it's almost as though my body's still working on the natural fuel I still have left to lose. Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, it switches off. And you know, it's like, I get hit with, oh my God, where did this come from? So
there's also, I mean, I would be curious with your data collection, I would like, and the what workouts you're doing, there could be a direct relationship there to what you've burned off, like if you were lifting weights or how far you ran, to okay. what fuel you have left on board and how your metabolism is working with it.
Okay.
But I would just encourage you totally to have those on plan and just keep tweaking and figuring out exactly like you're doing. I think you're doing it beautifully.
Well, thank you. I just, like I said, and I know it's a thought, and my accountability group, when they listen to this, they're going to be like, you need to journal on the weird thought, because that's just, and I know it is, but I think it's that old bullshit diet mentality. I'm so used to planning now, which is finally all like, it's routine. I didn't write my plan today, but my girls, before I started running, I tweaked my accountability buddy and said, hey, the plan is I have this for my race fuel and then I'm going to have my race nap and whatever my body asks for before dinner, it's getting. And then dinner is planned. It's a steak. It is everything else. And sorry, somebody's trying to walk in just because I didn't answer the door. It's a steak. It's a loaded baked potato and an apple juice. So like dinner is the only true plan thing, but I'm honoring because the half I ran today, my body, whatever it wants, like I had a banana and I had small fries from McDonald's because I needed the potassium and the salt because those were off today. When you see my numbers in the exercise group, you'll be like, yep, I know where you fell apart because they were off. And literally I knew that's what my body's going, give me salt, give me salt, give me potassium. So my boy went and got me a small fry and a bunch of bananas and I had them and then I took a 2.5-hour nap. So
good. I think for you, the thought there, this is not weird. This is honoring my body. This is not weird. I'm an athlete. This me thinking this is weird is not serving me. This is my body asking for what it needs. And at 9:30, it needs fuel. Like mm-hmm. just being aware of your thinking will serve you and just honoring the athlete in you and your body. Honor your body. When you honor your body, it honors you.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So.
It performs.
Yes. Yes, it does. And I love, thank you for calling me an athlete. That like makes me smile. I am.
You are.
I know I am. It's, you know, a friend of mine even commented to me. She's like, your times were amazing. And she's a runner. She ran track and cross country in high school. She ran it with my husband. She helped pace me early on. And so to hear from people who I look up to that I know are athletes mm-hmm. like you, like my friends that call me that athlete too, I'm like, wow, I really am. So it blows my mind. I know I am, but to hear somebody else say it,
That's your journaling right there.
Okay. I'm an athlete. I'll journal on that and I'll send it to you, my friend.
Please do. Please do. It's good to take care of yourself.
I am. I'm going to go down a 32-ounce bottle of water right now because I'm really thirsty. So
you are. Oh,
all right.
It's good to see
you. All right. Thanks for the coaching. Good to see you too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, y'all. We are just a little over time. Thank you guys so much for showing up and getting coached today. And I look forward, I'm going to be checking back in later tonight and tomorrow on you guys. If you have any questions, I'll see you over in the Facebook group on Queen's Club. Bye, y'all.